evening and welcome to Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles with Jane Allen. And you might also hear Watson. He's growling it up over here. He wants to be a part of it. Hi, babes.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
So, like Alan said, if we're live, it's Wednesday. It's 8 p.m. Pacific or very close. We're very grateful to be here with you. And for tonight's topic, let's get right into it. We're going to be talking about time.
And our relationship with time.
Time and our relationship to it. Exactly. So let's break that down a little bit and talk about what we're seeing. And then we'll talk about how you can find us and join the conversation. Actually, before we get into it, let me do that so you can find your way to the conversation while we're talking. Go over to 1-2 Radio, click on the chat button. That opens up a brand new window. Join the group. It's a private group. It just allows us to have a protected area to have our conversation. Once you're in, you will see our banner at the top of the page. And in the comments section is where the conversation's happening. We would love to join you over there. So let's get into it.
Well, yeah, we wanted to talk about the time and our relationship with it, meaning I think it starts when we are kids, and I think all of us remember when we were kids, we were children, a day or two felt like for so long, like if our parents promised us something for next week, it felt like it's taking forever, and we were counting the minutes and the seconds to do whatever exciting it was going to happen to do. So, and then the time changes when we grow up. Well, the time doesn't change. We change. When we grow up, it feels like the time is passing by so fast. And especially when you pass 50, it goes really fast. So a lot of times we are shoving so many tasks and in our daily routines, in our daily time, a lot of us are working, and whenever we have free time, we squeeze things. We have errands to run, we have laundry to do, we have food to cook, and of course, when you're busy, the time does fly faster. It feels like that. And what are we gonna do with it? When are we gonna have time for ourselves without feeling guilty? So that's what we are going to talk today.
And I think it's a great conversation to take a look at for the reason you mentioned, because it's very interesting, like this idea of time being malleable. I remember as the whole thing, like what Alan explained, being a kid and feeling like things would take forever, like even just like at teenage time, like as a 16-year-old waiting to get my driver's license, that felt like that took forever. And couldn't wait to get to be 18. Couldn't wait to be 21. And then it's like, oh my God, stop the clock.
Yes,
I don't want to be 30.
When we were kids, they would ask us, how old are you? And we want to be an adult. 16 years and 3 months and 4 months. Now we are adults. We try to lower our age. And when we're almost 50 or 60, the leftover months, we just kind of lower it. We are like, oh no, I'm still 49. So, because the time is very valuable asset to all of us, and we all want to live a very happy and peaceful and productive life. But in the meantime, we sometimes misunderstand the concept of it. Like we are talking about, we want to be peaceful. Everybody wants to have a peaceful life, peaceful, happy, joyful life. But how do we do this? How are we going to get that? Oh, I'm always busy. I don't have time for this. When I get home, I have my children. I have to cook. I have to clean. I have to get them ready. And it keeps going on and it doesn't stop. The kids are grown up now. I have to work. I have to do the same thing. That is part of life. We do complain about it, all of us. I think all of us are guilty for it, that we complain about the regular things that we do, and we are like, oh my God, I have no time for myself. But we can make time. We can make time just to sit down, grab a book, or watch our favorite show and not feel guilty.
So for me, that process, because it's been a process, it's been something I've really actively been participating and working on in my life and in my own unfolding to do. And I can say that I've made a lot of progress, but it's been very slow. Like my patterns, my like kind of the grooves that make up my personality are real. And no matter how much I might want to change them or how much I want them to be different, again, I've made progress and I have made changes and I'm so proud of myself for that, but it has taken me like a long time to do it and I'm still working at certain things. So, I'm very grateful that I have been putting in the time, and one of the ways that I do that is doing it little steps, but consistently. One of the books that I know, that someone talks about this is there. It's called Tiny Habits. I can't think of the name of the author, but he talks about making changes, but doing it through just making tiny little adjustments to our daily rituals, and through making the tiny adjustment, but doing that consistently and over time, that's where we can see the results. So what do you think about that, babes? Have you incorporated stuff like that?
Yes, absolutely. But it took forever to get used to that, especially living in the U.S. And the system here teaches us, like, time is money. So it doesn't mean that you're making money, but it's time is money. Time is valuable. Don't waste it. So we all are, I think, are guilty of also of this habit that on our days off, we have a long list of things that we need to take care of, and we have, oh, I have errands to run. And when we are home and we that are on our days off, it feels, at least it feels for me, I felt like I'm busier than when I'm working because I'm out of my routine. All I do is running errands, and if I'm done with my errands, now I need to do an extra cleaning, or when I'm done with that, the closet that needed some attention, I need to go and sort my closet. So it keeps going and going. But basically, we can just plan things. Like if you want to do your closet, do it on a certain day. If you want to, after work, take your time. Take when you get home, give yourself 30 minutes, 1 hour to just rest, close your eyes, grab a magazine, grab your book. And that's basically it. It's very simple. But here, I was watching a segment. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say it's very simple, but it's in doing the tiny habit, making the tiny change. It's sometimes it's so simple. Oh, I don't need to do it today. It's okay. I can make it up tomorrow. But that's missing the point. It is learning how to make that change, make that adjustment, and bring it into every single day to see the change that happens over time. It seems tedious. It seems like, what's the point? But there, we get somewhere if we're willing to put in the effort.
And that said, I was watching this video of this guru. His name is, I think, I hope I pronounce it right, Sadhguru, S-A-D-H.
Sadhguru.
Yeah, and one thing he said that really stood up for me, he said, so you Westerners, you do yoga, you meditate, you become a vegan, and you climb a mountain to find yourself, to find your inner peace. And we do so much work. We read books, we join groups, and meditation, all that, to find inner peace, to just find your inner happiness. He goes, forget all that. Just be. And that's where we are missing. We are looking, we are chasing happiness, and we are chasing peace, and we are spending our time chasing for something that it's right there. And we all do that. All day, we do that. Sit, if you have a backyard, if you have a view of a tree, just sit there and look at that tree. Look at a couple of birds that's flying around. And we can learn from our pets, our dogs, how they relax, how they let it go. They eat, They relax. Yes, they don't have a job, but they do that. And if you step on their toes, what they do is they whimper, and then second later they walk away.
Or in Watson's case, he'll nibble on your toes.
Yeah. So, but they don't carry a grudge. They don't feel like, oh my God, a few minutes ago somebody stepped on my toes. Oh my God, poor me. That's a human habit. What we need to do is all of us just take some time and put the phone down, put the social media down, mute the TV, just be. And honestly, that is meditation. That's what I think it is.
Agreed. And I agree with everything you said. I do feel like in the Western world, learning how to be is important. It's not taught to us. And it can feel very foreign when we're learning how to bring that into our life. It can even feel like we're doing something wrong. Like, this isn't productive enough, or this isn't really going to get me anywhere. Like, this isn't necessarily making me money. But the truth is when we do give ourselves that space to drop in, it allows for magic to happen. It allows for your intuition to kick on. It allows for that still small voice of God to come in. It allows for those connections to be made that oftentimes are missed or are just not made when we're super busy or frazzled, or we've blown our circuits because we're just running at a pace that's just not, you know, suited for our own wiring. The pace of the world, honestly, if I try to keep up with the pace that we're supposed to keep up with, I would lose my mind. I'm telling you that right now, because I was losing my mind when I was trying to do it. And so I've had to find a way to find my own balance and also my own value. And it's like a moving target. It's something that I work on every day. So I share that because, to Alan's point earlier, this isn't necessarily easy. It isn't necessarily hard, but sometimes we can get lost in our patterns and our habits in trying to make other people happy. And we forget, you know, who's taking care of us, who's in here making sure that I'm taken care of. And part of that is being our own parent and learning how to do it. And making the time for it, because again, no one's going to come tap on your shoulder and say, hey, it's time for quiet time, or it's time for inner parenting time. It's something that we have to negotiate.
I think it was a few years ago, I was watching this interview. I want to say it was the designer, Roberto Cavalli. And they were interviewing him, and they asked him, what is the difference when you design in New York and you have a show in New York versus when you have a show in Paris? He said, in Paris, when I have a show and I'm done with it, I can go to a coffee shop and sit there with my coffee and sit there for hours and people watch and just sit there and relax. And it's beautiful. And in New York, on the other hand, when I'm done with my show and I'm done working, I feel like a failure because I don't have anything to do at that moment. So I think it's more of an American thing that when we don't have any task, when we don't have errands, or we have some free time, we feel like a failure and we keep adding things to our list. But then we pay to a therapist, we pay to a trainer, we pay people to come and show us how to just relax. It's just disconnecting from everything else and relax. And it is literally, it can be half an hour. We sit there and meditate. That is meditating. And then when you can just relax, sit there, close your eyes, do your meditation, do a little prayer, just breathe for a few minutes, and then get up and keep doing what you are doing. And time is very valuable. And I also want to quote something that I heard, I don't know who it was, but it says, I think it goes like this. They say time is money. Money always comes and money goes. Time also comes and time goes. But when time goes, it never comes back. You can always make the money. So nothing is more valuable than time. Every second that passes by, we sit there, we're like, oh, I wish I had done this, I had done that. When we are in our deathbed and we are about to depart and live this earthly life, and we know that this is it, nobody has ever said, oh, I wish I had bought that property. I wish I had bought that car. I wish I had invested here and there. No, it's like we always want things that was pleasant to us, friends, family, travel, experiences. And yes, they all cost money. Everything costs money, and we have to work. Work is important. That work is part of our life, but it's not all our lives. We are not living to work. We are working to live, to be able to afford that little trip, little restaurant outing, getting together with friends with a bottle of wine or whatever you want to do. And that is where we are missing. And we measure time, we measure our lives with the value of the mighty dollar. And that is where the society is suffering with anxiety and depression and fear of, oh my God, what am I going to do if I don't make such and such amount of money? Because also here, we, I don't know if it's only in America or everywhere else, we spend, a lot of us are spending more sometimes than we can, because why not? We see it, we do, we see other people do it. So then we struggle to cover that expense, and we don't have time. We don't have time for ourselves. We need to cover the things that, the superstitious things, the superficial stuff, and the basically the things that we see other people have it and we desire them. So we totally lose the concept of happiness and the value of our own time.
So I want to check in with everyone in the chat. Let us know if you're listening in, and also let us know what you think about what we're talking about, this whole idea of time, the malleability of time, the different ways we experience it, how we, you know, feel like we're winning in the time department, or how we can feel like it's slipping through our fingers. We would love for you to join the conversation with us. And one of the ways that I've experienced time being malleable, besides the whole time just feeling like it gets faster and faster as you get older, and that is through meditation. Not only through my own personal meditation time, carving out specific amounts of time every day and really dedicating myself to it, because I started to feel what it would feel like to slow down time and how to get into the moment, like get into the gap. That's something that Dr. Wayne Dyer would talk about, getting into the gap. He even wrote a book about it. And it's basically in a Reader's Digest format or form. It's learning how to get in between the thoughts in our head. It's learning how to get in between our breath to tune into and drop into those finer moments. So that's one way. The other way was when I went to a 10-day silent retreat. I did it with my sister. It's the Vipassana Center. It's part of the Buddhist tradition.
Sorry to interrupt. 10 days? Give me 10 minutes. I wouldn't be able to do it.
So it is an incredible commitment, and it takes a lot of discipline, because you do commit to no talking, no writing, no body language, no reading. You literally... there was free time, but most of the time was spent in meditation. And that's a literal, not an exaggerated thing. There was every single day people left because they couldn't handle it. So we got through it. But in that process of taking my meditation to a whole other, level and learning a whole other process too, there were a couple moments in that where time stopped for me. I literally had time stop. And so time, I share that not to brag or anything. It's more to share because we get these ideas of like what other people are experiencing or not, or what's, you know, what we're capable of or not. Or even just like that cliche of what we talked about, like how time feels like it speeds up as we get older. But then there's our own experience of that. So, and sometimes we have an experience outside of, quote, the norm. And I want to validate that and bring value to that, because those are also the things that can make us feel excited, because we had a unique experience with ourselves. We had a different kind of like inner aha moment. You know, we when we have those, that can be pretty incredible.
Well, yeah, exactly. So that's and then when you do that, when you do the meditation, how did you feel like after? How did you come out like after 10 days?
So for me, the hardest part, and they talk about this, is getting used to sitting in the meditative space, because they would have you sit Indian style, basically. Well, I don't know if it's called that anymore, but cross-legged. And flat, you know, with your back straight. Mm-hmm. And you would be in that position for hours at a time. And you were not supposed to move.
Oh my God.
And it was all about, at first, learning how to be in that position to have different body sensations come up, discomfort come up, and basically have to learn how to, like, overcome it. So I had crazy back pain issues at first. I also started developing like a cough. And so those were things that I had to transcend.
But after 10 days, you did 10 days, right? When you came home, how did you feel? I want to feel that experience. What was it for you?
When I came back, I felt like I came back into a new life. Like I felt like everything felt different. The house, the people, everything. Because you don't realize how deep you get into the meditative space, how deep you get into learning about yourself. Mm. And also, like, it does start to change how you see yourself, how you see the world. All those things happen in that 10-day period. So then when you go back to the regular world, it's actually kind of startling. But for me, it was a good thing, because it made everything feel fresh. Everything felt shinier to me. Like, I felt like...
So you basically got buffed up again, like your mental state and stuff. So just imagine instead of 10 days, we do that like for 30 minutes a day. You know, it's like exercising, I think. So when I work out, when I'm at the gym, I do, I don't know, like 10 reps of one exercise. And then I'm like standing there just resting and just breathing. And then the second one I go, and then I breathe and I take my time, and the third one. But imagine if we keep doing this one and the next one, and then without a break in between, that I could continue. So that's what we do to ourselves, I think. We just don't take a breathing time. We don't rest. We keep going and going, and then we crash. And we're like, oh my God, I don't know why am I so exhausted. I do everything, but I'm still stressed. I work so much, I don't have enough money. I need to work more. And I come back to that again. When are we valuing our time for ourselves? When is enough?
Exactly. When is enough? How far do we have to push ourselves before we're willing to look at those things? And like Alan said, money and needing to make money to be able to pay our bills and to fulfill our obligations, that's very important, and can be one of the most stressful things, I think, for all of us that we have to face. But at the same time, I can tell you from my own experience, being in a state of utter fear, and not just fear, but like almost like obsessed fear about it. That's where I used to be. That did not create the solution. The solution was not created there. And
it paralyzes you.
It was.
It really was. I mean, when I remember when I moved away, when I moved out, and I moved to my new place, I should say. It was very new to me, and I was like really like freaking out, even though everything was fine. I was paying my bills. For some reason, I would find anything in my head attached to that thought and torture myself. And I couldn't sleep. Then one day I was like, actually, my mom told me this. He goes, well, you moved, you got this new place and you love it. You decorated your way. What if you can't pay? Well, what's the worst case scenario? I'm like, nothing. Either I sell it or I rent it or whatever. I give it up. Because, okay, then that is the worst case scenario. And sometimes the worst case scenarios that we have in our head, not sometimes, they say 95% of the time doesn't happen. We create these negative thoughts in our head. We waste our time again. I emphasize time. And we sit there and we worry. And you guys, please leave a comment. How many of you guys worried and the worrying helped you out of that situation? There, our brain, honestly, I read this somewhere. It says, I can't even remember to quote, to give credit to people. I read it somewhere. It says, our brain is the dumbest organ. All it does is it creates the worst case scenarios for us to find a solution for a problem. And it's in a surviving mode. And we attach to it. We cannot say, we don't separate it. But focus on that. Separate it. Your life is fine. Your life is fine. No matter where you are, you're fine. And you can do this. And take that 30 minutes. And also, it's like it said, when you think about something very sad that happened to you, and you sit there really focused and remember every detail, you're going to be really devastated again, because your brain doesn't know if it's happening now or it happened in the past. So when we take our time and we get so sad and we get worried and we don't know the solution, we're just worried and I'm just panicking. And we went to our friends and whoever can listen to us, and there is no solution. Just breathe and take your time for it.
I want to say something to that, because it's so crazy, and I'm sure some of you want to just scream when you hear that, just breathe or just meditate. But here's the thing. It's a real thing. It's legit, and it's not just about go breathe and hyperventilate in the corner. No, it is about taking a moment to take a nice deep breath, like getting the air all the way in your belly and slowly in and slowly out. It's a way in which, through the regulation of your breath, can you start to regulate the rest of your systems. And it's using that as an entry point into being able to have a different kind of relationship with your heart and circulatory system and your energy levels and your emotional levels. All of it are you can start to work with and interact with in a different kind of way from that meditative space, as well as like in those like deep breath kind of states. There's tons of breath work you can dive into that you could do research on, that you can get very specific with the techniques. But for our purposes here tonight, we're more specifically just talking about nice, slow, deep breaths. It isn't about rocket science. It isn't about the latest technique, but it is about using the tools that we can use that are free. And that one's a free one. I think we want things that can do more for us. You know, we want a quick fix. We want to get out of whatever discomfort we're in. Alan makes fun of me because like I barely can handle him touching my eye with like the makeup pencil. I'm like, oh my God, I really don't do well with certain kinds of discomfort. But at the same time, life is full of discomforts, things that make us out of our comfort zone and make us uncomfortable, and that we have to be able to find a way to get through, not avoid. Because avoiding, I can tell you from my own experience with that, the problems, the stuff will be there when you bring your head out from under the sand, or you take it out of someone's ass.
So I want to share something, that I want to give a shout out to my sister Stella, because last year I was having some construction going on here. We had a water leak. I think I mentioned that before in our past segment. So one day I was talking to her, and she's my source to go and vent. And she's a very strong person, even though she is a few years younger than me. I was complaining. I'm like, oh my God, my place is full of dust and there are furniture that are covered. I can barely walk around. I don't know when they're going to do this. And I'm so frustrated and yada, yada, yada. And she's listening and not saying anything. I'm like, hello, are you still there? She's like, oh my God. Oh my God, you need to stop. You're complaining and nagging and nagging. Yes, your place was had a water damage. It's paid by your insurance. You're fixing it the way you want it to be fixed. Yes, it's dust and dirt. It's temporary. And you're frustrated. You're upset. Welcome to the living. People, if you get depressed, if we go upset, I'm not talking clinical depression. There are days that we all have that crappy day and we are really down on ourselves and stuff. And or there are days that we are anxious, we have several things to do. Take your time, like Jay said, meditate for 5 minutes, breathe. Really, it's called life. We are alive. We are happy, we are sad, we are anxious, we are calm. Those are all human feelings that we forget. We have to remind ourselves, it's okay. I've been here before. I had this feeling before. These shall pass. And just again, that valuable, beautiful, beautiful gift that it's called time. Take it from, use it for your advantage. Make it yours. Embrace it. Cuddle with that time for 5 minutes. And then you see how things change for you.
So I wanted to jump over into the chat. Terry Campbell's joining us. Hi, Terry. It's great to see you. She says, hi, Jay and Alan. And Raven is also joining us. She says, I like the idea of making little changes. Perhaps my resistance to change can be overcome that way. I have found that was the case for me because I used to live in the truth that change was bad. Like if things were going to change, that meant bad things were happening. That was where I was coming from with regards to change. So I, over time, had to change because there were things that were happening I did not want to keep happening. And in that process, I learned that change brings in the new and that it's actually can be a good thing. And that I don't have to always worry about the shoe dropping. I can actually use my co-creative abilities to put out what I really want to have, like the exciting thing that I want to have happen.
If I can just jump in, even when you do change and it's new and it's not good, what do? It's okay. Then you change that bad to something else. We always have options. We are not locked in anything. Take your time. Think about it. What's the next step? For example, you make a move. You move to a different area. And the apartment you rented or you bought or whatever it is, it's not a good one. Are you there forever? No. You look for a new one. Yes, it's a little hassle, but it's not end of the world. We spend our time making bad things, difficult things, so much worse than they are in our head, where we can take that time. Make that time and make that bad things to our benefit and look at it as a lesson and how we as a challenge and how we can what we can learn from it and what we can do with it.
One thing that Alan says to me a lot is like, how can this be happening for me? Like the thing that's happening to me, how can this be for my advantage? So even though it might on the surface look like it's going to be bad or negative, like it's going to have that kind of connotation. It's holding the thought and intention. Okay, like I know this looks bad, or I know this seems like it's going to be awful, but how is this going to work to my advantage? How is this at the end of the day going to work for me? And it's playing it out till the end, till you get to that part where you see the benefit. I know it sounds crazy, but it works. And I can only say and share that because it's something that I have to use in my own life, in my own way, to get through things. And to not just get through them, but to get through them and feel like, okay, I did it. So Raven says, no way I could not go 10 days without talking. Yeah, it does seem like that's the common, that is a very common, what do you want to call it?
Expectation.
In that regard. And honestly, I was at a time in my life where I needed something extreme. I needed to, it was something I felt called to dive into at the time, but I don't know that I would do it now.
But Raven, I have to tell you this. So one time we were out with our friends, and I'm a chatterbox. I didn't know, a couple of my friends, they bet it that if they ask me to be quiet for 10 minutes, if I can do it. I'm like, of course I can do this. And like within less than 10 minutes, they said something. They made a comment that wasn't true. So about something. And I jumped in to correct them. They're like, we told you 10 minutes, just be quiet. I said, oh, shut up. I can't do this. So they lost the bet. But it's really hard. I mean, it's not for everybody. But 10 minutes for taking for ourselves, I think that shouldn't be a difficult thing.
No. No, and here's the thing. I think the other problem with this, and I mentioned it already, but I want to mention it again, is it can feel insignificant. If I only take 5 minutes or if I only take 10 minutes, what good is that going to do? Well, that day, one time, it isn't going to really do much. I'll be honest. It's in doing it day after day, week after week, consistently. There, that's where you're going to see the difference. That's where you're going to start to see the impact and to see the changes and the aha moments come in and the different kind of wisdom that you attain from the discipline and from the discipline that comes through the consistency. And like discipline for me is a good word and a bad word. It's like budgeting. It's a good word and a bad word, but it's the kind of thing that if we can befriend those things that we're afraid of or that make us uncomfortable or that are just hard for us, that just seem complicated, but we work at facing them, and I'm not saying to do it alone, but facing them, owning it, owning what's in front of us, but not running away, not putting our head in the sand, not avoiding, and also not distracting ourselves. Those are all things we can do to get out of it. And guess what's going to be waiting for you when you come back? The thing that you were trying to avoid. I'm like, because I've been there, people. I've been there. I know how this works.
Yes. So, yeah, that's so true, Jay. But discipline is very important because when we spend the money and we see a guru or we go to a meditation group or a yoga class, we pay $100 a session to get disciplined. It's free. It's actually free in your home. Turn off everything, your phone, your TV. Just sit there and meditate. I thought meditation is sit there not to think about anything, which is the hardest thing, and that they say that's not even a real thing. Just sit there and close your eyes. If you want to distract yourself, do your version of your own prayer or your gratitude. Sit there and just count on your fingers how many things you have in your life that you're very grateful for. That is prayer. And put like positive energy in your own life. And talk to yourself. Talk yourself up. The values that you bring to the table. And every one of us has certain values, certain traits that we bring to the table. Look deep in yourself, take your time, and then when we do that, because I've done that, I've been in a place that I didn't see myself, I didn't love myself, I wasn't confident enough, and I needed the external validation all the time. And one thing I learned was, on one hand, I have 5 fingers, I can use those fingers, count 5, be grateful for 5 things that I know about myself, and I have it. And that is enough. That is enough. There is a lot more, but that much of it, I'm very grateful, even if it's 5 things. If more, then even better. So that is meditation, and that is taking time yourself, giving you a hug to yourself. It's not such a cheesy, corny thing to say, but it's true. We forget to value ourselves. We always put extra time at work. We do like overtime to get that 1.5 times more pay and where they deduct it from taxes. But we do that, but we don't give the gift of time to ourselves, to our loved ones, to our families.
It's I think, to be honest with you, one of the most complicated and complex things that we navigate in our relationships. And I can share from my own perspective as a former people pleaser, I did put a lot of emphasis and energy towards making sure everyone else was okay. And oftentimes, it wasn't that I wasn't okay. I can't say that I was, you know, totally unhappy and hated my life. That's not true at all. I got a lot of satisfaction out of being there for people, helping people. But then I also noticed when I wasn't able to take care of myself and my own obligations in the same way, and I was still trying to help everyone else, that's where I was like started to like resent and hold it against people. And it's like they weren't even necessarily asking, or you know, or maybe they were, but it was up to me to have a better boundary to be able to say no and to have better communication. So I can say that people don't always do what would be the quote right thing to do in the situation, especially when it comes to balancing time and energy. Oftentimes people are just looking at it from their own angle and they aren't necessarily considering the other person. And that doesn't necessarily make them a bad person, but for someone like you or me who considers you and the other person and maybe, you know, 10 other people in the situation, and you're considering everyone's feelings and how they are and like weighing that all out for them, you can, you know, be very shocked to find out that when somebody else doesn't offer that back to you, or you can even go as far as saying, you know, they're a bad person because they're not doing that for you. And that's the part where we have to be willing to look at how much of ourself, our time, our energy, how much of us are we giving, gifting, and how much are we doing things to get some kind of return? And are we always, you know, being honest with ourselves about that? And I think as a people pleaser, we're not always honest about why we're being nice or why we're being friendly. It isn't always just to be friendly, you know, and I think that's something that we have to be willing to look at, you know, our part, other people's parts, how we communicate, how we speak up for ourselves. And the other thing I will say about this, because I see this a lot with the psychic intuitive community that we're in, that oftentimes because we're so psychic and intuitive, we will assume our partner gets or feels where we're coming from, even though we didn't open our mouth and say it. And because we're intuitive or because we're perceptive, and we expect other people to be that intuitive and that perceptive. And again, I just want to say not everybody is like that. Even the people that are psychic and intuitive are not necessarily that psychic and intuitive, and it's not necessarily their job to be making sure that they're reading the information or the person. Like, I don't do that. I don't go around reading everyone. I keep to myself. I used to feel like I needed to go around and read everyone, but that's where I've learned I don't have to do that. So I share my experience. I want to ask Alan here, as a hairstylist, when you first started and you were working with clients and where you were at and how that felt to now, what would you say is the biggest difference, like, as far as, like, where you feel you've grown? Or like what's changed that you feel like is a positive thing that you had to work at?
Oh, I would say definitely valuing my time with people and feel, one of my best friends told me always, you are a hairstylist and when your client sits in your chair, the client is not necessarily always right. It's still my chair, I'm the boss. And I got better in my craft with the experience through the years, and I respect my clients. I respect to their requests. I listen to them and I help them wherever I can. But I think the growth came in the building a relationship and my time. Like my time is very important to me. And if you give your time, like you said, as a people's pleaser, you give your time, you invest your time. Let's take that in away from that word, waste your time. With a W, not a V, but you waste your time. Do you choose, do you want to invest or you want to waste? And I chose to invest. I will invest in my friends, in my clients, wherever I can. It gives me a pleasure where if I can help someone. But if I see that I'm investing and that investment becomes a waste of my time, why? It's not helping me. It's not helping the person. And we are going in circles, so it's useless. And that's where you have to pull yourself back and evaluate your time and your effort and everything that you do for that person, for the client, for the family, whoever it is. And it's okay, and we don't have to feel guilty about it. So, yeah, I think.
So what I hear what you're saying is learning how to communicate more clearly what you are willing to be a part of, what you're not willing to be a part of.
And I don't need to communicate with them. Mm. I need to communicate with myself. Because I can't change people. I can't let them know how to treat me. I'm just sitting there and I'm just listening, and I am in a relationship with people, in business relationship, family relationship, everything. And if I see that, I'm not saying that, oh, you hurt my feelings, I'm never going to talk to you thing. No. But if I see that it's this person is consistently draining, and asks for my help, I'm giving him my advice. Of course, he never follows my advice, but he comes back with the same problem over and over again. Then I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't have time for this, you know. And I'm not dismissing it. I'm giving you in God's hand. And that's where our time is important. Not cut people off because you don't want to deal with them. Because we might be in trouble, we might be in distress, and we might need that one friend. And again, karma.
I love the conversation we're having here, because it's been something that has been a developing situation for me, and something that I've been looking at for my whole life. Because I didn't really grow up knowing boundaries or how to have boundaries, what they were, how to have them. And so first off, I had to learn that situation. And then also how to clearly communicate how I feel without feeling bad about sharing how I feel. Because I had a hard time with that. Like if I felt like I was going to hurt somebody or let someone down, it would be really hard for me to then say what I really wanted to say. So part of my learning has been learning how to say those things anyway, because it's still valuable what I have to say, and it's very valuable that I have something to say. But it is learning how to do that, and to where I can do it in a way that I still am able to communicate clearly and like stand true to my virtue and how I want to be in the world, while not trying to hurt them, but also not really being so deeply considerative of their feelings and emotions, like letting them handle their own feelings and emotions because I'm handling my feelings and emotions, if that makes sense. So
on that, handling people's and emotions, you don't need to handle them. You just have to understand them, I think. That's what Jay means. And empathy, compassion, two totally different things. But again, they go hand in hand. I try to fix people, okay, but I had to learn. We all go through our journeys, and I look at it, I'm like, okay, that's their journey. I can help them, I can guide you, I can give you my insights and share my experience with you. You make your decision because that's your journey. Like a good therapist, you go to them, they never tell you, oh, leave him, divorce him, do this and that. They shed a light on your path, and you choose your path. And we can be compassionate with people, we can listen, they ask for our advice, or in my case, even if they don't, I will give my advice, but it's up to them if they want to follow or not.
And that has been my practice, to what you just said, of learning how to be able to give my two cents, so to speak, without being attached to what you do with it. And to be also to the other part of that for me, because I do feel like what I have to say is valuable, I'm learning how to not be attached to what other people do with it, but also paying attention to what other people do with it. It's the kind of thing where I have learned to be a better observer of myself, of others. So like what Alan said, I can be more understanding, but I can also take that understanding and then turn it into wisdom when it comes to how I show up and how I communicate going forward. So it is our absolute pleasure to be here with you on a weekly basis for the show and to have these really fun discussions to talk about real life. Do you have any final words, babes?
No, just that enjoy your time. It's your time, nobody else's. Bank your time and then cash it when you need it.
I love that. Please find Alan on his website, Hair by Alan. That's hairbyalen.com. And all of his social media and phone numbers and good stuff are there for you to be able to communicate with him. You can find me over on 12listen.com. And you can find all my social media on my webpage at jrichardvarvel.com. Thank you again for joining us and being here with us tonight. We had a great time. Please put in the comments some questions, some thoughts about things that you would like us to talk about, some different topics that you would like to hear our two cents. And that will help us a lot as we are always looking for show ideas and topics of conversation that you all want to hear about.
Yes, and I wish everybody a wonderful rest of the evening and a good night, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Good night, and bye-bye, everybody.